Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. Today I have my awesome co-host Jean Adrian, and we are here. We're going to talk, well, we're going to get to the heart of what matters. We're going to talk a little bit about Jean's continuous journey with everything that's happened with her. And we're going to talk a little bit about dreams, because we both have had some interesting dreams. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I know that there are supposed to be some stuff going on with dreams. I think it has to do with Pisces and the energy, but because we did move into Pisces. So maybe
and
it's
we've
that.
Got this eclipse in Pisces.
Oh, yes. And the eclipse that's coming
up.
Absolutely. So we're just going to, you know, chat until we're finished, and we'll see where that goes.
Oh, yeah. For sure it's going to go somewhere, isn't it?
Absolutely. So welcome to the show again, Jean.
So thank you so much.
You were telling me that, just tell us a little bit about how you see this all unfolding for you, because you now have kind of a clearer picture of why it's all there and what you're doing with it.
Yeah. So what I'm getting my hands around is the fact that my body is healing all of this stuff. You know, I mean, granted, I've had two surgeries now, but my body's doing some amazing healing work outside and above and beyond the surgery. So it's kind of, you know, allopathic medicine, but also my body claiming her power to restore her vision. And I was standing in front of my mirror, blow drying my hair, maybe this was 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden I heard that I was supposed to help my body write her book. And the name of the book would be called The Sentient Body. Hmm. And I was like, all righty then. What does that mean? You know, and what's happening is nothing short of amazing in my life, Lori. I mean, you know, I can't remember if the last show that we did, I had begun to see light, and so they didn't remove my eye.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if that was the last show we did on here, but we certainly have talked about it since on your
right.
show. So, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, so I still have my eye, and my eye is healing itself. Although they did a surgery to repair my tear ducts, right, they haven't done anything to the eye. And,
except for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so now what's happening is the eye is starting to open, because a month ago, you know, I guess in our last show, I couldn't open it by myself. It was just basically always shut because the muscles weren't working right. Well, now it's opening and closing about a quarter of an inch.
Cool.
Which is certainly enough to let light in. And then over the last couple of days, what's happening is that when it's open, then it's seeing something. Now, there's no lens in this eye because the lens was lost when the eye was ruptured in the accident.
So what does that mean?
Huh?
It means they have to put one in? Like, what does it mean not to have a lens?
Yeah, they'll have to replace a lens. They'll have to put a lens. You know, like if you were having, what do they call it when you your lens gets covered over?
Oh, cataract.
Cataract, yeah. Like, you know, what they do is they replace the lens. They put in a brand new lens.
I didn't know that.
And now they have lenses that are very bionic. So they can correct your vision with, you know, it's almost like instead of doing LASIK, if you have cataract surgery, they can correct your vision to 20/20 with the lens.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing what they can do. But how it looks to me through that eye is, you know, the blocks that are like glass blocks that are, instead of cement blocks, these are clear glass blocks. And a lot of times people will put them in bathroom windows, you know, because they let the light in, but then you can't see into the bathroom and watch the person in the shower.
Right.
So when the eye is open, that's sort of like what I see. It's like if you get really close up to one of those blocks and try to look into it, you know, it's kind of all swirly, and, but you can't see what's on the other side of it, you know?
Right.
And that's happening more and more. So the optic nerve is for sure working, and something is working. And as the eye is opening, you know, more and more of that light is coming in. And who knows? Who knows? So it's like my body is fixing all of this stuff by herself. And I think that's what she wants to chronicle, because I think she wants to model for all the other bodies out there that there's nothing you can't heal within yourself. And for sure, you know, we've known this, we've talked about it, about how the body will heal itself if you get out of the way and let it, and, you know, on and on and on. But have we ever had the courage to just step up and let it happen? Right?
Right.
And I think that that's the message that wants to come out in this book.
Yeah, because most of the time we get in our, like we say we're letting go, but we're still trying to control it. We're still trying to do things. We're still, you know, we're still wanting to be in control. We're wanting to manipulate it. We're wanting to, you know, we're wanting to make it happen faster. Or, you know, it's amazing, because that's one of the things that I, you know, like to share as well. Like I've this root canal that I had in the summer, and then it moved into having it's like the infection just never really went away. And then I got the really bad infection around the time you had your bad fall. And, but it's still there. And it's not that it bothers me, but it's still there. Like it, every once in a while, I'll still feel, I don't know if it's pain necessarily, but it's not pain in the tooth. It's just around the tooth. So there's still an abscess there. And it's like, I'm doing certain things feel so much better. I'm like, there's an herbal product that I'm taking that's made out of mushrooms and stuff. And there's, so that I know that that's helping. It's very, like, it's a super antibiotic, antiviral, food. It's not a drug, it's a food. And I'm also, you know, starting to do oil pulling, which is interesting. I'd heard about it for years. It just didn't appeal to me, but you know, having organic coconut oil, that is kind of so nice to have in the morning. It's, I don't know, there's something about it that I just don't mind doing it.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Especially, it tastes so creamy. So I don't mind it. I don't mind swirling that for 20 minutes. But yeah, it's like, but I know that it's still there. Like I got a new toothbrush to work on my gums, because when I got that major infection, all of my gums were infected in that they were all, what's the word? They were just, they were inflamed. So they were all inflamed, all of them. And so nowhere near, like not just the ones at the back. I mean, the whole mouth was all inflamed. So then when the inflammation went down, I've lost some of my gum lines. So now now I need to rebuild that. So I'm doing all of these things to try and help that. But I was listening to a meditation today. I want to get to the dreams, because I think there was something in the dreams that when we want to chat about it. But it's like I was listening to a meditation, and he got to the throat chakra, and he was talking about the different areas that the throat sort of entails. And it's like, oh, I know that it has something to do with my mouth. And I'm looking at, then I looked up in my book. Don't ask me that, I'd never looked up, you know, what a root canal or what this specific tooth was all about. But I hadn't. So I was looking at that this morning, and then I was looking at, you know, what my personal, when I kind of connect in, it was about nurturing myself and taking better care of myself, but that the specific tooth has to do with feeling different and an outsider. And I think, you know, I think when it comes to dating, that's kind of what I feel.
Yeah.
Like I don't, like, it's like, you know, I'll meet somebody and either I'm not attracted to them, or the ones that I am, it's like they either can't deal with my strength, which is a bit of a problem, or they can't deal, which, you know, really, I'm such a softie, but I give off, I don't know. so many people have told me this anyway, of my friends, that I kind of give off this, you know, this kind of knowing. So it's like, it's intimidating, very intimidating. Yeah. And if you look, you know, we're kind of accomplished women. So, right. You know, we've done a lot. And so that kind of intimidates a lot of men. And of course, you know, they think it's, you know, then there's the people that think it's woo-woo without trying to find out who you are, sort of thing. Right. but so, yeah, I think there is a part of me, and I think that might be maybe something, and I, you know, that just came to me as we were talking, but I think that might be something about relationships. Mm. So, and that's what this dream was about. And it was the weirdest dream. Like it was, you know, it started off with a conflict and I was going to make sure that the person was going to be okay because she was doing something that I knew she didn't know what she was doing. And we ended up in this spiritual retreat thing and it had something to do with this really powerful initiation. It was a sacred sexual type thing, like a tantrika or something. And mm-hmm. of the people that went that I was there to support, I was the one that was chosen to do this. And I'm like, okay. So I felt this huge download. And then the teacher who is very much from my past and I would absolutely never do anything with them again. But it became there from that kind of somehow became a relationship. And I know it wasn't specific about him, or maybe I'm healing the part of, you know, that darkness that I didn't like about him. Maybe I'm healing something around that, but it really felt the next, you know, the next part of that going into a relationship. It's like, oh, well, that's interesting. 'Cause there's, I mean, one, this specific person I'm not attracted to, but I mean, he had really scary power. He was kind of, mm-hmm. even though it was all about the light and, you know, it was about the brotherhood of light, somehow, I don't know, somehow I think he made some wrong choices and there was a lot of darkness there. So somewhere in this dream, it all shifted. But I remember waking up going, oh, good Lord, what was that about? But then feeling that still empowered initiation that was very, I don't know, it was just really kind of, whoa. And yeah, and then, you know, when I went back into a dream, although it was still sort of him, although I don't think it was, I was definitely in a relationship. So I don't know, seems this is all somehow connected to this, that this
wow.
bit about my teeth and maybe it finally getting me to go look at, you know, what's this one specific tooth, not in Chinese, like in that, because that's very different. That's all about, thyroid and pituitary, kidneys, liver, spleen, you know, it's all, you know, they kind of bring it back into the organs and stuff. But if I look at this one book that I have, plus I have this other thing that a woman wrote with Louise Hay, but it just, I don't know. It's this feel different and an outsider. And I think that's what it's all about. Like I've always felt, so that's why I've always known that if I do get into a relationship, it's probably going to be with somebody that's in the spiritual field, like that's in mm-hmm. our community somehow, although I'm not really meeting anybody, but so I don't know. But it was just an interesting, because it was, I felt so good, even though it started with me trying to help somebody, which is my typical reason that I'm in a dream, it ended up being all about me.
That's interesting. And, you know, maybe because you say, you know, you still feel like you have some hanging on of an infection there, mm-hmm. maybe by healing what you healed in the dream with this person, that maybe that was the source of this hanging on infection, was some unresolved stuff there. Sure. And maybe now that can all go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, there's really no reason for there to be an abscess because it's on the root canal tooth. So even though they say that it's there, I mean, mostly they say the only way to get rid of it now is to pull the tooth, but there's really no reason for it to be there because there's no root. Like there's, you know, there's no reason for the infection. It's not spreading to any of the other teeth. Like it's, there's no reason for it. So there's, it's just trying to get my attention for something.
So have you talked to your body and ask her, why are you hanging on to this abscess?
Right. And so that was what I started to do today. But, you know, I don't, I was about to say, I don't always trust the information that I got, but sorry, what I did get was that it had something to do with how I hadn't been nurturing myself and that I need to take better care. But I knew there was more to it, which is why I kept exploring the different things. And honestly, I think it has to do with this one about feeling different and an outsider. So this, I think, is what I'm going to look at. And I think you're right. I think that dream kind of brought this information to light so that I could look at it. And I think hearing, getting kind of triggered in that meditation, not triggered, but it spoke to me to sort of, you know, go into what is, like, why have you never asked yourself?
Why? Yeah, and I would offer to you to, when you go into meditation later, to ask your body, what does she need in order to not feel like an outsider?
Right.
You know, and let her tell you.
Right.
And just see what happens.
Right.
Because she's sentient. Because if mine is, so is yours.
Absolutely. So tell me what your dream was.
So the dream started off, I was in a two-story house, and I was on the second story of the house, which actually had the front door of the house was on the second story. Okay. And then the lot sloped down, and there was the first story of the house actually had sliding glass doors and everything that opened out down there. Okay, so but I was upstairs with a bunch of people. And I have a client who's sort of been with me since the beginning. His name is Steve. And so Steve called me and said he wanted me to teach him something. He wanted to take a class with me. And so I said, fine, you know, I can do it thus and such day. So you can come and I'll teach you whatever this is that you want to learn. And so the day was this particular day. And Steve arrives, but he goes to the downstairs door. And so I open a window and I yell down to him. I said, Steve, you're at the wrong door. You need to come upstairs. You need to come all the way around the house and come in the front door of the house, which is at a second level. So I'm sure that means something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes in and I'm going to teach the class, but everybody else that was in this house wanted to learn as well. And, you know, I'm telling these people, I said, well, you know, now he's done a lot of prep work for this. And so he's got all the background information and you're going to be coming in a bit late and you don't have the background that he has, but you're welcome to attend the class if you want to. So we all went outside and we set up chairs out on the lawn. It was a beautiful day and I start lecturing. And what was coming out of my mouth, I believe I was channeling the information for this book because I was telling these people all of this stuff about how the body processes information, where it stores wounds. And, you know, it went on and on and on. And some of it I kind of remember. Most of it I don't. But I do remember telling all these people that are out on the lawn. Now, you know, you don't necessarily have the background that Steve has, and you're going to get full before he does. And when you get to the point where you've had all you need for today, you need to just get up and leave. And it's okay. You can just get up and leave and it'll be fine. And I kept saying that over and over and, you know, but they were all kind of staying. I mean, they never left. And I woke up, I had to go to the bathroom. And when I came back, I was back in that dream again. And I was, you know, again, teaching, I was lecturing all of this information that I'm not sure where it was coming from, and I don't remember it all, but I know, like you, it was a download.
Right.
So things are happening, and because this upcoming eclipse, and you're more of the astrological maven than I am, you know, this the first one, I think, kicked my ass. The one that was in Leo, and it seemed like it was such a fun thing.
Right.
Oh, no, sir. It brought up all of my unhealed stuff about scarcity. And, you know, and I was like freaking out about, am I going to have enough money to pay my mortgage when the first of the month comes? You know, and it was just like craziness because I was really freaking out about scarcity. It's all resolved itself. I mean, you know, I have enough money to pay my mortgage. I'm, you know, it's all good.
Right.
But I went through probably a week there of pure panic about money. And then I came to my senses just a day or two ago, maybe I think Saturday, you know, so, but then we're leading up to the new moon solar eclipse, which is going to illuminate all of that. And it's in Pisces, which is about, you know, the dreams and all of that kind of stuff. So I think that that's what's stimulating these dreams is the illumination on whatever it is that the full moon brought up for each of us.
Right. And they're saying like it's so the past 2 years we've been in the Virgo Pisces axis, North node and South node were in Virgo Pisces. And I don't remember which is which, but so therefore our solar eclipses and our lunar eclipses would be in the Virgo Pisces. So this is kind of the last one. It says it can be seen as the final cosmic push to improve our work life balance. To take care of both physical and mental. So Virgo is all about the physical and Pisces is all about our dreams and our thoughts. So the sign of Pisces is imagination, service, dreams, ideals, and compassion. Our coping skills, faith, and dreams may be challenged. So there's where our dreams are coming in. Flaws in an important system in our lives are revealed around the time of the eclipse, prompting us to redo or start fresh. We may be called to give up something in order to move forward in a new chapter in our lives. This is a good time to revitalize ourselves through experiences that require imagination and compassion.
And I think this is happening for a lot of people in a big way because one of my friends here in Blairsville went and took a class in Sedona. And it was something she was really looking forward to. And when she got home from the class, and apparently it was a very profound class, when she got home from the class, she found out that while she was away, her power had been turned off in her house because she had missed paying the power bill. And you know, most cities that I've ever lived in, you have 60 days, you know, to whatever, grace period if you miss a bill.
Right.
Well, not here in Blairsville, you have 15 days. And so while she was away, they turned her power off. So that meant that everything in her refrigerator and freezer had to be thrown out.
Oh.
And, you know, so talk about having to make a clean sweep, you know, and the issue that she's been working on is trust, you know, and if I want something done right, I have to do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, that thing. And
I know that one so, well.
Yeah, you know, so her boyfriend had come over and checked her house while she was gone, and he told her that the burglar alarm, the dinger didn't ding, but he didn't actually go in and turn the lights on or go over and check the burglar alarm thing to see that it was dead, which would have been a clue that there was no power. He didn't go to the depth that she feels that she would have done had she been doing this in his house. So, you know, so it was, there you go again. If I want something done right, I have to do it by myself. I'm not supported, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So that's what this was bringing up for her. So I imagine everybody who's listening to this has their own little niche where, you know, we're being really pushed to let go of all of these old belief systems that aren't serving us, like that there's not enough or that we have to do it by ourselves, or, you know, whatever yours is, you know?
Oh, yeah, I've had that one. And I did find out this month, though, that it made it worse when I tried to fix it because it was around my website. And the more I, you know, was being impatient and not just trusting that people that are on it will get it done, the more I played with it, the worse it got. So it ended up with me being on the phone with GoDaddy for like 6 hours. And you know, and because I have a security system, and I have GoDaddy, and because I also have an SSL, so I have an HTTPS website. All of my domains, like all of my IP addresses, had to go from GoDaddy to the security site. So GoDaddy wouldn't take any responsibilities for the problem because they said they couldn't see the error because it wasn't going to their IP address. The security place was saying they couldn't see anything and that I had to go to GoDaddy to try and figure out. And so it was just, and then, you know, then I went and I tried to do some other, anyway, it was like 14 hours of my website being down.
Whoa.
and me like freaking out, and I hadn't eaten from like, I think I, when I realized it was like 9 a.m. and at like 4 p.m. I was starting to get really cranky with people, and I'm like, oh God, I haven't eaten. That's the problem. I've been sitting in front of this stupid computer trying to do it myself, and it's not something I can do.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, it was pretty interesting. Yeah, so I kind of in that realized that, you know, Lori, this, you really do have to let go. Like, you know, it would have resolved itself out without me having done some of the work that I'd done.
Wow.
Although neither one of them wanted to take any responsibility. And then in the end, that both of them said they didn't do anything. So, you know, I have no idea, but it was a bit frustrating.
I'm sure it was.
Because then I switched all the DNSs back to GoDaddy so that it was under their IP addresses, and then they still couldn't. And it was a nightmare. However, we're good. We're good now.
Yay.
We don't know what exactly was the cause of it. And again, nobody wanted to take responsibility, and both parties, you know, again, wanted to blame the other party, but it's like, oh. So I don't know exactly.
It feels a little bit like retrograde Mercury.
I know. Except there wasn't any.
I had to replace the printer over the weekend. You know, my printer quit printing black.
Really?
Yeah. It would print, you know, if I would like, you know, highlight and something that I wanted to print and make it like magenta or purple or something like that, it would print it just fine. But black, oh no.
Funny.
I know. So what I realized in all of this was that you can get a new printer cheaper than you can buy ink cartridges.
I know. Isn't that awful, though?
I know. I wish I had known that because I had just replaced all my ink cartridges.
Oh.
So I've got a printer with 4 full ink cartridges that won't print black.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So what you could do is you could try and go to get a printer that will take the same cartridges.
You know, but I was in a panic because I had stuff I had to print. So now I've got this new printer that I got for $74, you know, that works really well. The old one was maybe 6 years old. Yeah. And God knows how many millions of pages I've printed of that were just black ink.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure I wore that printer head out.
You think? Is that possible? I mean, that's not really how it works anymore.
Well, but it's an HP inkjet, but the printhead is not on the cartridge. Today's HP printers, the cartridge has the printhead on it.
Oh.
But this one, you know, the printhead was actually in the printer itself.
Oh.
So I think I wore it out.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, technology has changed and it was time for me to upgrade my technology. And luckily I upgraded it not on a retrograde Mercury. And I love this new printer.
Okay.
I mean, it works really well.
What'd you get?
It's an HP.
Okay.
You know, so it works really well. So solved my problem. I was able to print the certificate for the student in Turkey who needed it and get it in the mail today when the post office opened.
And what holiday did you have today? Or yesterday?
Yeah, it was President's Day.
Oh, okay.
So what was yours?
Family Day.
Okay. We don't have that holiday in the
States. No, it was a new one. I think it's probably because they just decided that we don't have any holidays in February and that we really need one because it's, you know, that kind of that month that. Yeah. So, yeah, we created one called Family Day.
I love it. Yeah. Okay.
It's a great concept. In the beach, sure. We have on Family Day, we have a, well, we used to have like a whole bunch of things happening, but now we have this it was called a warming hut, and so they're on the beach, but they kind of changed it. So, but the one right at the bottom of my street is like a foot steam, so you can sit outside and have your feet in the warm water and keeps you warm. Ooh. Right? So it's kind of a nice idea. They're great ideas. They're very unique. The colleges and different architects get involved too. So the universities have they get to do three or four, and then they bring in architects to do the other ones. So it's kind of sweet.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So every year for the last 3 years, they've done that, which is kind of cool.
I love it.
All right. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, and we don't have to talk about it for very long, but it was something that I found really interesting. And I think I'm probably going to blog about it once I do get part of whatever it is that I'm supposed to get out of this. But a new book that came out today, literally, calling Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. And it's by Mary and Ronald Holnick. I've never heard of them. It came out through Hay House today. But what I liked about it was this. So the principles that they're looking at, they feel that the biggest challenge is moving into acceptance. So one, acceptance of what is. Accepting what you observe with neutrality rather than having any emotional charge, good or bad, about it. If you have a charge about it, you're not in acceptance, obviously. Mm. Acceptance of self, accepting all of you, your humanity, as well as experienced largely through your personality or ego, as well as your divinity, which is experienced when you are awake within your authentic self. Acceptance of others. That one's probably more challenging. That means accepting everyone based on your understanding that we are all literally in this life together, and that everyone is in spiritual reality, a divine being having a human experience. Fourth is acceptance of the world just as it is, accepting everything that is presently happening on this beautiful planet, as well as everything that has ever happened here. And then the last is acceptance of God, accepting the possibility that there is more going on in our lives than what we observe in our physical world reality. It means accepting the possibility that there is purpose behind it all, regardless of whether we perceive it or believe it. So we certainly have talked about the acceptance of God, because we definitely look and know that there's a reason behind everything. Not that we always, not that I'm always actually, as I discovered this morning, you know, walking my talk there, but I thought I was.
Of course. Well, I like this. I like the stuff in this book. It's interesting, the synchronicity here.
Yes.
Because yesterday I listened to Matt Kahn's new video, and it's called, the title of it is All Is Well. Mm. And, you know, his whole thing is about acceptance. You know, whatever arises, love that.
Right.
You know. But this particular video is talking about how if you stay focused on just what's right in front of you, then everything is just fine. All is well. And one of the things that he mentioned in there that I actually wrote down because I thought it was such a cool way of looking at it, he said that all of us need to have a quote-unquote monogamous relationship with reality. And that most of us don't. That we're constantly cheating on reality with Facebook, with texting, with not staying in the present moment, you know, all of that stuff. And I thought, wow, how true is that?
Okay, so what does that do to us? What is texting, and how is that not keeping us in the present moment? Or monogamous
It pulls us out of reality. Especially Facebook, you know, because most of the stuff on Facebook is not reality. Somebody else's reality. It's not your reality.
Sure.
And so he said, in order to have a monogamous relationship with reality, you just have to look at what's right in front of you. So if you think you have enemies, for example, if you think somebody is out to get you or whatever, if you look right in front of you, is that person there?
Hmm.
You know? Oh, well, no. Then all is well.
Right.
And it was very interesting. And it sounds like it's really along the same lines as this book you're talking about, right, which I'm getting ready to order.
Yeah, I just, you know, I always get things on Kindle these days because that's just my preferred. I've got all these books that one of these days I'm actually going to read them all. But you know, it's better than having my bookcase now overflowed with books and having to, you know, try and figure out which ones I want in my bookcase that, you know, once they're sitting there, I probably never look at again. But yeah.
And killing 100 trees.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all with you there.
I hear you. it's interesting because acceptance is one of the things that that was my goal for this year. To move into more unconditional love, but I know that before I can get there, I have to accept everything. So I liked it. I'm gonna, you know, enjoy delving into this because I think it's their first major book. Certainly, I've never heard of them, but it's a couple. They both have a PhD, and I think they've been doing this work for like 30 years. So I'm curious to see and read what it says because I don't think they've put any of this in, you know, in print before. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it kind of ties back to the tooth. You know.
Yeah.
If you think about it, if that tooth is all about feeling like an outcast or feeling like you don't fit in, then if you can accept that, then there's no need to be inflamed about it.
Right. Right. And yes. And if I had never even noticed it and never certainly made the connection to relationships, because I think that's the thing, like that's where it all kind of stems from, is that I've been trying, you know, I've been wanting to be in a relationship for the last, well, really in the last year for sure.
Right.
And, you know, and most of the time my feeling is if I can't find someone I, you know, really connect with, I would rather be alone because I'm happy. I mean, I'm very happy, but that one area is something that, you know, I would like to have, you know, to share with somebody. So if indeed this is all about, you know, that, you know, that initial meeting and then, you know, that feeling of rejection because I don't really fit in, like that I don't feel that I can fit in or that I'm kind of an outsider, then, you know, that's obviously going to keep poking its ugly head until I sort of see it, isn't it?
Well, and it's also going to block you from meeting a guy who accepts you just the way you are.
Right.
So yeah I get that. I get that completely.
Yeah.
So, wow. It's fun, isn't it?
Isn't it? I think so.
If we didn't have all this, we would be bored.
Wouldn't we? I'm learning to take my little girl for walks. Well, that's all. Cool. That is so much fun.
Do you put her in a backpack?
Well, what I've gotten is, I mean, obviously it's meant for dogs, but it's kind of this one that sort of their legs hang down. There was one where like that they stick out from the front, but there's no way a cat would do that. So
yeah,
this
right?
is, so this, I'm thinking I might even actually close it off or get some mesh or something, but she's, you know, she kind of hides when there's something like a dog or, you know, a person that's maybe a little boisterous or children that are like yesterday, there were a lot of kids out. So she kind of pulls back in this little pouch thing, but she's doing really well. So I think as long as I, you know, keep at it with her every day sort of thing, that she'll enjoy it. Cause she really wants to come out with me when I leave. So it's like, okay, well, I got to find a way then to let you come out with me. And the one day I went just with her on like a leash and, I want to say a holster, you know, the thing that you put, that doesn't just go around there. It's not a collar, but anyway, so I had her on that in my arm and that seemed to be fine, but she couldn't kind of hide then. Right. If something really, really scared her, she'd kind of back up into my arm or she'd start to climb up. So this way she can kind of hide herself in this little thing. So I think she likes it a little bit better, but you know, you can't see her cute little face, but that's okay. She'll eventually get more comfortable, I think. This is what I think.
So is this like a kangaroo pouch that you have for her?
It's, you know, it's kind of the one, you know, for little dogs that it just, it's kind of like a little purse kind of. Looks a little bit like a purse, so it sort of hangs down from under your arm, but it goes over your shoulder, so it kind of sits between, you know, in this case for her, just kind of on my chest.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. I'll take pictures eventually. I think I need someone, though, that, you know, can sort of see on the other side.
There you go. There you go.
She's awfully cute, though. But she, you know, sure what I like about it is that I take her out and then she sleeps. Yeah, I'm bad. All right. Well, any lasting thoughts that you would like to leave us with today?
You know, I think this has been just a fun show. I think we covered a lot of ground.
We did.
And yeah. So I'm just excited to see where the next few weeks will take us.
Me too. So our next show, we don't have one on yours because you have to be with your daughter, which is perfectly fine. And so our next show will be probably March 20th. Oh, yeah, like the same day as you.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's 28 days in February. All right.
Very good.
Okay. So you have been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want more information about Jean, go to our website, jeanadrian.com, and myself, intuitivesoul.com, and we'll be back next week. Thanks, Jean.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.